We thank you, God, that you looked out upon your creation and you saw how lost and broken and hurting we were. And because of that, you sent a great light into this world. You sent your Son. So, Father, we love this Christmas story. We love the fact that Jesus came to this earth and lived among us, and then he died in our place and rose again 3 days later. Father, thank you for this amazing, amazing, true Christmas story. And now, God, as we're about to open up your word, we pray once again that you would be speaking to us, that you're growing us, drawing us closer and closer to you, that we would be transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray that you would speak to us, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up to 1 Thessalonians, Living in the End Times. If you have your Bibles, this is something that we use every Sunday morning, right, is the Word of God. So I'd encourage you to bring it with you every Sunday morning. And so we're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 17, and then reading through the end of chapter 3. And so this sermon series we've called 1 and 2 Thessalonians, we've called it Living in the End Times. So I just want to prompt you to get the wheels turning in your head. Why is 1 Thessalonians called? Why are we referring to it, the sermon series, as Living in the End Times? The reason why we're doing that is because in nearly every chapter in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul is talking about Jesus Christ returning. That's why we're referring to it as living in the end times. Living in the end times, theologically, biblically, is that time when between the time Jesus came the first time and when he comes again a second time. You and I, we are living in the end times. And so Paul is writing this letter to address them to think about how they are living in light of the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return a second time. In the passage that we're going to be looking at this morning, it's really just building on, of course, it's the same book, building on some similar themes. But one of the things, just to get your mind really kind of locked into this passage, one of the things that the Apostle Paul is doing is he is describing in this passage what it looks like to be a spiritually healthy church. And so, again, we're about to read it, but as you listen to the words of Paul, you'll realize that he is, in fact, describing a spiritually healthy church. And, of course, we also know this, that if he's talking about a spiritually healthy church, he's also talking about what it looks like to be a spiritually healthy Christian. You can't have a spiritually healthy church unless you have a group of people who are spiritually healthy. So as we go through this passage, be thinking about these characteristics, and we can even begin asking ourselves the question, is this true of me? Do I see this reflected in my own life? I believe with all of my heart, in many ways we do. We will see these things, but it's also okay for us to ask, God, may this be more and more true about who I am as a Christian and who we are as a church. So, with that said, let me read for us, starting at verse, chapter 2, starting at verse 17. Here we go. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown or boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? That answer might surprise you a little bit coming from the Apostle Paul, but we'll talk about that. For you are our glory and joy. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, we could bear it no longer. We were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker, in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction. just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. So we want to talk, of course, about this passage of Scripture. We want to understand what it is that the Apostle Paul is talking about. What was he saying to the Thessalonians? What was his message to him? And of course, how does this apply to us? And so I've already told you that really one way of thinking about this passage is thinking about it in terms of what it looks like to be a spiritually healthy church. Because as you think about this passage, once again, Paul is laying it on pretty thick, isn't he? We think of other books of the Bible that we have read, 1 Corinthians, that we have studied, and he's not always super encouraging. Say that again. The Apostle Paul, as he writes letters, he's not always super encouraging. Sometimes he is really challenging because what is going on in the church is really messed up. Think back to 1 Corinthians, you know, wasn't that long ago we preached through it that you know that's the case. But here, the Thessalonians, they were living in such a way that was really bringing God glory and honor. And so we look at this and we say, well, what are these characteristics? What's going on that the Apostle Paul is highlighting? And how can we work and live and pray in such a way that we see this in our life and in our church as well? So here's the first thing that the Apostle Paul talks about. You ready? Okay, the first thing, a spiritually healthy Christian, a spiritually healthy church will be growing in their love for others in the local church. I'm going to say that again. A spiritually healthy Christian will be growing in their love for others in the local church. Now, I'm going to be rereading these verses. I know we just read it, but look again at verse 17. I want you to see this. Think about what the Apostle Paul is saying. But since we were torn away from you, even that language right there, I mean, why was the Apostle Paul torn away from them? Well, he was torn away because of persecution. But there's this idea that he wanted to be with them so badly that he was torn away. That's how it felt to him. For a short time, in person, but not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. So I already told you that this language is a little bit interesting. That's an understatement. Interesting in the sense that some of this language that the Apostle Paul is talking about, you might think that he'd be referring to God in this manner, right? That God is my crown, that God is my joy, that God is my glory. You might think he would use that language for God himself. And of course, he does, and he would. But it's very insightful that as Paul is writing this letter to the Thessalonians, he's using all of this language and he's talking about them. So what you are hearing is this. You are hearing the Apostle Paul communicate to these Christians how deeply he feels about them, that the depth of his desire for them and that they are doing well. You are hearing the Apostle Paul pour it out, his deep concern Love for these Christians is what you are hearing. There's three specific words in this passage that we've read twice now that he describes them in verses 17 through 20. He refers to them as his hope. So why would the Apostle Paul refer to these Christians as his hope? Again, we're probably much more used to him talking about God being his hope. Why do you think he's referring to these people as his hope? I'll tell you the reason why I believe he's doing that. The reason why he's doing that is because what it reveals is one of his greatest desires, one of his greatest hopes, is that these people are growing and becoming more like Jesus Christ. This is what he is working. This is his deep desire. This is his hope. This is what is on his mind. This is what is on his heart, is that these people are growing and becoming more like Jesus Christ. In our day and time, it's become kind of trendy, honestly, to relegate the church to maybe second place or third place. People are deconstructing their faith. People are talking about the church like the church is really not all that important. I have a relationship between me and Jesus. That's really all I need. Each and every one of you have heard people say things like that, right? That I have Jesus. I have God. I'm not so sure about the importance of the church. Here's the problem with that. That's a totally anti-biblical way of thinking about the church. Again, think about what the Apostle Paul is saying. Think about how deep his emotions are for these people. And then again, you and I, we ask the question, is that true of me? Am I growing in that kind of love for the people in the church where I am a part of? Am I growing in this kind of love? So he talks about hope, right? But then he talks about joy. Paul finds genuine joy in knowing that the Thessalonians are doing well. So what gets him excited? Where does he find his joy, his true source of happiness? He finds it as he's building relationships with brothers and sisters, and he finds that they are growing in their faith. That's what gives him joy. But then he also talks about a crown, right? He does that in 17 through 20. He talks about them. Again, be certain of this, because it is certain. He's talking about them functioning as his crown. What do you think that means, to be a crown? What it means is this, is a crown would be a wreath that would be placed on a person's head after they won an athletic contest. So they would put this wreath on their head. And so what it symbolizes, this was like their treasure for winning this contest. So what the Apostle Paul is saying is that the people in this church are his treasure. That's how much he cares about them. That's how much he loves them. So let me ask you a question again. I want you to think about it. What do you do with this kind of information? What do you right now, as you are hearing the Apostle Paul talk about his love for the Thessalonians, what do you do with this information personally? How do you apply it to your life? I can ask you, and I will, maybe this would be the last time. Do you feel like maybe you started to be influenced a little bit by the culture around us? Do you feel like maybe you have started to think about the church in terms that wouldn't resonate with what the Apostle Paul is saying? That maybe you've started to see the church as something that's really not all that important after all? One of the things that I say almost every Sunday is this, that church is not a Sunday morning event, right? Church is not a Sunday morning event, but it's easy to get caught in that kind of way of thinking. This is something that I attend once or twice during the week. But church is so much more than that. Amen? Church is so much more than that. So, let me just give you a couple quick applications. I'm sure that you are doing that already. The first one would be this. We need to be pursuing relationships in the church. We need to be pursuing relationships in the church. There is no way there is no way for you to read so far what is going on in 1 Thessalonians. There is no honest way for us to read what's going on in 1 Thessalonians and come to the conclusion that deep relationships in the church are optional. You couldn't possibly come to that conclusion. Because what you hear the Apostle Paul talking about is that he is giving his life to relationships. Like, this is at the center of what he is doing. So again, I want to ask you, are you pursuing deep relationships in the church? Is this a priority for you? Certainly from the life of Paul, we could say that that should be something that we should be doing. The second one, very closely related to the first, we need to be actively loving and caring for others in the local church. We need to be actively loving and caring for others in the local church. Some of you know, my wife and I recently had COVID. COVID was not very much fun for us. I actually preached last Sunday, but I was like in a total fog. I was negative, just so you, to remind you, right? I took the test ahead of time, so I shouldn't have gotten anyone sick. But last Sunday, even though I preached, I just felt like mentally I was out of it. But someone in the church, they will remain nameless, brought over two different helpings of turkey soup that they had made from Thanksgiving. So they had brought that food over and just said, we just want to be a blessing to you, Marcy and Michael. This is one of the things that I see happen a lot in the life of New Life Church. I see people who are recognizing needs in the life of other people, and they are helping them. They are reaching out to them. I just want to encourage you, New Life Church, to keep doing this. This is what it means to be a spiritually healthy Christian. This is what it looks like to be a spiritually healthy church. Going deeper in relationships and meeting needs, and I'm thankful that we are, this is a part of who we are. The next mark of a spiritually healthy Christian is that we will have the right attitude towards trials and suffering in life. And I'll say that again. A spiritually healthy Christian will have the right attitude towards trials and suffering in life. And I want to reread verses 1 through 5, 3, 1 through 5. So you can put your eyes there if you have your Bible. Therefore, we could not bear it any longer. We were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we were destined for this. Well, that's interesting. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass and just as you know. For this reason, I could bear it no longer. I sent to learn about your faith for fear that somehow the tempters, talking about Satan, had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. So one of the words that really stood out to me, and it probably does to you as well, is this. It says that they were destined for trials. Another word that you could use for destined, if you were to look it up in the original language, another word that would be used would be appointed. And so what the Apostle Paul is talking about, in God's sovereignty, in his sovereignty, he has set it up so that you and I in life, that we would go through trials, that we would go through difficult times. Now we know for these Christians, they were going through persecution. Like they could actually lose their life, right? They're talking about legitimate persecution. But what he's saying to them is, there's nothing about difficulties and trials that should surprise you. There's nothing about going through hard times that should be shocking, because as a matter of fact, God has appointed it to happen. I want to say this, speaking, I don't know, pastorally speaking, because this is something that we really need to understand. This is something that for us as Christians has a tendency to really wipe us out. This is something, what we're talking about right now, I see this a lot. And here's what I mean. I see Christians who will go through a difficult season and they don't understand, they don't have a theological understanding of suffering. And so when difficulties come, they become very bitter against God. Have you seen that before? I've seen that in my family, like my personal family. Difficulties come, trials come, and instead of looking for what God is doing, they become distant from God. They become distant from the church, and it ends up just really kind of wiping them out spiritually. You and I need to have a biblical understanding of suffering, understanding that in it, God wants to work in your life. That God wants to work in your life. We want the easy button, right? We want the path of least resistance. We want to try to get out of that trial as soon as possible, but God wants to do something greater. Here's a verse that is so counter, a couple of verses that are so counterintuitive, so strange for us to get our minds around. This is James 1, 2 through 4. You ready? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of many kinds. Do you hear that? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of many kinds. How different is that from our normal way of thinking, right? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. He's talking about a change that is taking place within us. Allow perseverance to finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. And so what we see in this passage is a couple of times the Apostle Paul is talking about the tempter, right? And he's talking about Satan. Satan attacks us in many ways. So I think you could talk about, as Paul is talking about Satan being at work, I think there's probably a lot of different ways that that's true. But I think in this context, one of the applications would be this, is that as we go through difficult times, Satan wants to use that in a negative way in your life. I think of people who have gone through difficult times and who have become very bitter. Have you seen that before? Have you seen bitterness just kind of take over a person? Because they didn't understand that all of us are appointed for times of trials and difficulties, that this is something that comes from the hand of God himself. And so in your life right now, I would imagine for some of us, this battle is taking place. You have a decision to make. You are going through a difficult time. The question is this, how will you respond? What the devil wants to do in your life is he wants to isolate you from people. He wants to get you bitter. He wants to get you angry. And he wants to pull you out of community so that you're kind of shaking your fist at God. That's what the devil wants to do. God wants you to be reminded of how much he loves you and how much we need each other even as we are going through difficult times. Here's the next characteristic of a spiritually healthy Christian. They will be living for the good of others. They will be living for the good of others. Look at verse 6. Just following the Apostle Paul's lead here. Verses 6 through 9. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly. I told you he was pouring it on thick. And long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. So I'm going to just stop reading there. So what is the Apostle Paul saying? What he's saying is it should really blow our minds. What he's saying is that even though he is going through all this affliction and difficulty, he's not concentrating on that, is he? The answer is no. He's not thinking about all the persecution that he's going through. What is the Apostle Paul thinking about in verses 6 through 9? He's thinking about other people. I mean, make no mistake about it. He's not thinking about how hard life is for him. Now, I know we're like, man, this is hard to really live out. But as you listen to the Apostle Paul, he's specifically saying that. I'm going through all these difficulties. I'm going through persecution. People literally want to kill me. But he's telling them, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about you. The fact that you are growing in your faith. The fact that you are loving each other. This keeps me going. Wow. Can you imagine if we were all living like that? Can you imagine for all of us that even as we're going through difficult times, if we are thinking about other people and putting their needs first? Can you imagine? Where do you think the Apostle Paul got love like this? You think? I don't think specifically pointed out in this passage, but we think about all of Scripture, the testimony of Scripture. So you have to ask the question, like in your own strength and power, you can't live like this. In your own strength and power, you know what happens? Something happens to you in the church, you get offended, and then you just walk away from relationships. That's what we do in our own strength. We get bitter, we get angry, we push people away. But that's not what God is calling us to. I found this verse and I found this interesting, Philippians 1:8. Who wrote Philippians? Say it out loud. Paul, right? Philippians. Philippians 1:8, he wrote this, "For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." I find that very telling. So what the Apostle Paul is saying is this, is the reason why he loves people in the church who are so messed up like me, right? You know that. I've been here 6 years. You know that I have weaknesses. You know that I am a sinner. But when he is saying that we are able to love people like this, what he's saying is we can do it because why? Because we have received the same kind of love. You and I go back to think about where you were when Jesus Christ found you, right? You were lost in your sins. You were dead and lost in your sins. And Jesus pursued you. And it's out of that relationship, out of that gratitude for what Jesus has done for you, that you are able to love others the way the Apostle Paul is talking about. This is not just, you don't give yourself a little pep talk. And I need to try a little bit harder. What we do is we seek after Christ. Here's the last mark of a spiritually healthy Christian mentioned in this passage. A spiritually healthy Christian will make kingdom prayer a top priority. Will make kingdom prayer a top priority. Look at verse 10 again. He writes this, and we're just about done. As we pray most earnestly, what's the next three words there? Night and day. How does that strike you? He's saying night and day, we're praying for you. Night and day. At New Life Church, over the past 2 years, we keep talking about the importance of prayer. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying is, now, we tend to pray for those things that we value, right? You think about in your own life, what are the things that you pray for, that we pray about those things that we think are important? The Apostle Paul prays frequently kingdom prayers, prayers that are for the good of other people. Interesting. Wonder where he would get an attitude like that, probably from the gospel. But okay, so verse 10. So going back there, let me find my place. As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. And now he begins praying. He prays this. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. And as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Man, we could spend an entire sermon just based on that little prayer. But let me just tell you exactly what the Apostle Paul is praying for. In verse 10, we already said that he's always praying. And then in verse 10, he says that he is praying for them. He's praying for them to grow spiritually. And then verse 11, he's praying that God would lead them back to the Thessalonians, that God would guide them and open a door for them to go back, even knowing he might lose his life. In verse 12, he's praying that they would grow in their love for one another. He knows how important that is. So he's praying, New Life Church, I'm praying for you that you are growing deeper in your relationships, that your relationships with one another are becoming more and more important. You're moving towards each other in a gracious, loving way. In verse 13, he's praying that they would become holy. And so as we wrap up this passage of Scripture, here's what I want you to do, this sermon this morning. Here's what I want you to do this morning is I want you just to take a moment. We've talked about a number of different things, but I just want you to bow your heads. We're going to sing together a song in just a moment, but I want you to bow your heads and I want you to ask God this question. God, how do you want me to respond to what I just heard? So you and the Lord, and you are saying, God, I just heard this. God, what do you want me to leave here this morning? How do you want me to respond to your word? And I'm going to give you a moment just to silently pray about that, and then we'll pray together. Just keep your heads bowed. I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, don't leave here this morning until you know what it is that the Spirit of God, how he wants you to respond, so that we're not just hearers of the word, but we are doers. Just give you another moment to talk to God and ask him how he wants you to respond to this. Look up here. Here's something that I didn't have planned. That's always dangerous, right? I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to respond. I won't give you a microphone, but I would love to hear from two or three of you. Right where you're at. You don't have to come up here. What was God communicating to you? That's one of the primary reasons, right? We want to hear the word of God, right? We want to hear God actually speak to us and the Spirit communicate to us. So I'd love to hear, maybe just two or three of us, this is what God was saying to you. Just right where you're at. You just tell us. Someone has to get us started. Who will it be? Yeah. Many of you don't know, Mary just recently said goodbye to her husband. Right, Mike, the Gold Daddies have been a part of New Life Church for a long time and very involved in just seeing how the church family has come alongside you and supported you. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. Just being a reminded of that, having a grateful heart. Someone else, how God has been at work speaking to you specifically this morning. Just being more aware of what's going on in our culture around us and how people are fearful and how we can meet them where they're at and help them and care for them and love them. One other person, something the Spirit of God is communicating to you this morning. So God takes us through those difficult times, but he has a plan for it, right? It's not just to hurt us. It's not to take things from us that we think are going to make us happy. He wants to do something special in us and change us and help us to see how precious Jesus is through all of that, which is definitely a big part of your testimony. All right, well, we'll have the worship team come on up here. And as they're doing that, I'm going to pray for us and just ask that, what better way to respond, right, to the preached word than singing praise back to God. So that's what we're going to do right now. I just want to, as they're getting ready, I want to pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you that as we have gotten together this morning, we have been reminded of the importance of the church. Father, that's really what's going on. We've been reminded of, God, how much you love the church. Then, Father, we evaluate our own feelings and we ask the question, is that true of us? And Father, I believe that it is something that is true of us. I just pray for us, God, that you continue to strengthen us, that you deepen us in relationships with one another, our relationship with you, that you are strengthening New Life Church, that this would be a support system for us, God, that and through these relationships that we would be changed, that we would be shaped, all of it would result for you being glorified. So, Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.